Well, we get 13 weeks together, and for Christ-centered parenting is the overall title of these weeks we're going to have together. And really, it's broken into two sections. One we're going to call foundations, 6 weeks just on foundations of Christ-centered parenting. Like, how do we lay a good foundation from God's Word for understanding what parenting is about from God's point of view? And then we'll have 7 weeks on what we'll call a framework for parenting, where we'll get a little bit more practical as we build on the foundation of parenting. How should that foundation shape what we say and what we do and how we relate to our kids? Or just even as a church, how we think about relating to everyone's kids. How we think as a church about discipling the next generation. The main focus will be toward parenting. But I think there'll be a lot here, just even if you're not a parent, to equip you in coming alongside parents in our congregation and helping them care well for their kids. Or at times, yeah, just to, I think, help us be thankful for the parents that God gave us and their own faithfulness in ministering the word to us. So turn, if you would, to Psalm 20 or 127, where we'll begin this morning. You know, the longer Ruth and I talk about it quite a bit, the longer we're parents, the less confident we feel. And so the less confident I feel getting up here and talking about parenting. I don't know if any of you have parented for long where you've found that to be true, where as the years go on, you realize it's a lot harder than you thought, and human hearts are much harder to reach than we thought, and life gets a lot more complicated than we thought. And we even joke sometimes that we've got five, and our youngest two are in high school, and they're within the next few years, Lord willing, they're headed out. And she and I feel like we're getting close to being ready to be parents. And sometimes it takes about 25 years to be like, okay, I think we're ready to do this now. We realize why, like, our parents with their grandkids are so relaxed. You just, over those years, like, the Lord just uses it to refine what you realize really matters and all the things that don't, and how much what really matters is not in our control. And so we've started appreciating more and more just the word faithfulness as parents, not control. Like, what does it mean to be faithful ministers of God's word in our home, faithful followers of Christ, reflecting Christ toward our kids, just faithful as we open God's word and read it and talk about it and apply it to life, knowing that there's a whole lot that God has to do. And so Psalm 127 is one of those psalms that I thought we'd start with because it just sets that perspective in front of us, that unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. And of course, Solomon here is not talking about a physical structure as much as a household, a family, which is, again, another argument for the inspiration of Scripture, because if there's someone, a king, who tried to build his own house in his own strength, it was Solomon, with 1,000 wives and concubines, and dozens of offspring. Trying to, again, according to the tradition of those days, to build the house as humans build. And yet, under the inspiration of the Spirit, he's going to express to us that actually, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. What a fascinating idea that you can have this city with all these soldiers on the ramparts looking out and standing watch. He's just saying, if the Lord isn't guarding the city, might as well all go to bed. Because you're defenseless if God isn't going to be your helper. In the same way, if the Lord isn't the one taking our work and doing something with it in the lives and hearts of our children, might as well go to bed. Because there's no fruit, no lasting fruit that's going to come unless God makes it happen. And even verse 2 calls it is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. Like it's futile, it's missed, it's vanity to go from early in the morning to late at night, striving, struggling, toiling to shape and mold and make your house into something, your kids into something, if the Lord isn't the one actually doing something with it. But you think that he would follow all that up with some kind of rebuke, but instead he follows that up with a promise. The reason it's vain is because, verse 2, he gives to his beloved sleep, or I think a better translation, he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Meaning while you're sleeping, God's working. That you labor, you toil, you minister the word, you're faithful in your home, then you go to bed. And the reason you don't have to be anxious is because God does work while you're sleeping. It's like, imagine farming where you're planting seed, you're watering, then you go to bed, and God is doing something 24 hours a day to grow it, to bear fruit. And so he responds to the vanity of laboring as parents without God's help with the promise that he helps when you sleep, that he's going to love your kids more than you love your kids, that he's going to do things with his word in their lives that you can't even fathom or imagine, that you won't even see. And that's why so much of the work of parenting is a work of faith. You're planting seeds, you're watering, and you don't always get to see the growth. In fact, a lot of times you're going to see the opposite of growth. A lot of what you're going to notice is like his word rejected. You're going to notice what's wrong. You're going to see disobedience. You're going to see all these things that tell you, okay, this isn't working. And so we have to be careful as we think about just Christ-centered parenting to not get too pragmatic, too controlling, and asking, okay, what works? What's going to make our kids into what we want them to be? Versus what's faithfulness? And so parenting is God's idea, not ours. Parenting is not a product of social development or survival of the fittest. It actually came about within the plan and providence of God. Like he decided to create the whole world and everything in it. He decided to create Adam and Eve and give them capacity to procreate, give them capacity to be parents. And that was to reflect something about his glory, something about his beauty. It was to accomplish something about his purpose in this world. He's even going to command Adam and Eve in Genesis 1:28, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it. He's going to say something very similar to Noah after the flood. And in the first verse of Genesis 4, we're going to see parents emerging onto the landscape of human history with the birth of Cain. Genesis 4, now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. Which God helped. They recognized God is the one who enabled conception and bore a son. Genesis 5 begins with the word, this is the book of the generations of Adam, followed by this long list of those who descended from Adam. They lived, they begot, and they died. And though every person on earth isn't going to marry, isn't going to bear children, we yet see marriage and childbearing as just a very normative aspect in Scripture of life. And so there's going to be many ways that a person can display the glory of God, many ways they can fulfill like all that God has called them to be in this life without marriage or kids. And yet one of the ways that God displays his glory in the world is through parenthood. Which points back to, you'll see point A there, that God is the Father. That fatherhood and motherhood are means through which the Lord displays himself in the world. That parents exist because God exists. And he exists as the Father, eternally as the Father of God the Son, and now the Father of his redeemed children. You know, one of the reasons that Jesus tarries, right, that hasn't come back, is that God wants more kids. More of his children to be brought into the kingdom. It's an amazing idea, right, that we will spend eternity in heaven, millions upon millions of us, all children of God. I mean, just think about it as parents. What's one of your aims of your parenting? Is eventually to do what with your kids? To usher them out into the world. For them to grow and to not be dependent on you. And yet, here's God who forever will be father to millions and millions of children. And that he delights in that.